Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Sure is great to be here and be with all of you. And it's kind of family time, right?
Amen. Amen.
I was got some news reports coming in, and I got a report that just came in this morning from Jerusalem. And you may not know it, but we have a reporter over there. He says the tomb where the King of the Jews was buried is empty. And he was placed there just 3 days ago under heavy guard. And now the stone was rolled away and there's no body inside. Whew. And I got another report that says, official sources say the body was stolen while the guards were sleeping. And when we asked the guards about it, they said, well, yes, we fell asleep, and the man's disciples came by and stole the body. This is an uncanny admission by the guards, because normally they would be executed for such a failure. Back to you. We have another reporter filed a report. He's at the governor's house over there, and the governor says, yes, that is what I've heard from the chief priests about that deceiver who was buried. The body was stolen. But governor, it is said that the man said if he was killed, he'd rise again in 3 days. What do you have to say about that? As I said, his body was stolen. He and his followers are known to be criminals and homeless people going around causing trouble. Our guards are not prone to politics. It's as they said. Back to you. Oh, and I got another report. And this comes from a reporter, Katie. She took a quick look at Jerusalem Social. And we see a post from a lady named Mary, who's with another Mary Magdalene, and she posts that they were there at that tomb. And the body was gone. And just a short while ago, there was an earthquake. She posts that she talked to a literal angel. And the angel said the body's not here, but that he has risen just as he said he would. And the angel invited them into the tomb to see. And they went in. And there was no body. Then the angel told them to go and tell the others that the man said he would meet them in Galilee. Oh, and we got another reporter that said they were looking at bitter.com. And we have a post from the chief priest, who are quoted as saying, everyone knows that dead people don't come out of graves. That man has been deceiving people for 3 years now with conspiracies and has finally pulled off the greatest deception, a fake resurrection. Please go back to your homes and ignore the fake news. This is the official statement coming from Jerusalem, truth versus conspiracy. We'll travel up to Galilee and report back to you next week. Kind of seems like it could happen that way.
Yeah.
Turn with me to Matthew 28. Verses 11 through 15. Now while they were on their way, some of the guard came to the city and reported to the chief priests all that had happened. And when they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers and said, you are to say his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if this should come to the governor's ears, we will win him over and keep you out of trouble. And they took the money and did as they'd been instructed. and the story was widely spread among the Jews and is to this day. Are you a resurrection denier?
Nope.
Was he raised or not? This is a foundational question. Can we say to someone without a doubt in our heart that Jesus was raised from the dead, that people saw him physically die and get buried and was raised from the dead? Can we do that? And I would dare say most of us here could and would and will and do. But maybe there's some other ways that we do deny his resurrection. So my question this morning is, do you want to know the power of his resurrection? You may be familiar that Paul said that he wanted to know him. He wanted to know Jesus and the fellowship of his sufferings and the power of his resurrection. Is that our heart? Do we? Paul did. I certainly want to. But what kind of power could raise a man from the dead? What kind of power could raise a man from the dead? Think on that a little bit. People have been dead for 3 days and buried, just don't come back to life. Except when the power of God is involved. Jesus raised Lazarus. Must be the power of God. God raised Jesus. Must be the power of God. Think about it for a moment and ask yourself, can any other power raise us from the dead? Any other power? Can the universe? No. Can the spirits of dead people raise us? No. Can Mary, the mother of Jesus, raise us from the dead? No. Can Muhammad raise us from the dead? No. Has he ever raised anyone? No. Can Buddha or karma raise us from the dead? No way. Have they ever raised anyone from the dead? Or even themselves be raised? No. This is a singular power that God has. He's the creator of all things. So do you want to know this power? Do you want to know this power in your life? We have things that we need changed in our life. We have things in our life that we need to get over, get past, get out of our life, and it's going to take power to do it. What power do we want? What power will we depend upon that can do it? Turn with me to Romans 6. Do you want to know this power? If you know this power, if you experience it in your life, you know that you will be resurrected. You will be raised from the dead like Jesus was. Because God can do it to Jesus, and Jesus promised us to be raised from dead unto life. And if you know this power, how could it change your life? I would say you would not hang on to your life so tightly. When we hang on to our life so tightly, we're afraid that something might happen to us. Something might overpower us. We might die. We might get sick and die. if that's the fear that you have inside you, you're hanging on to your life too tightly. The power of the resurrection. You would understand, because of this power, because of their promise, you have eternal life facing you, offered to you. You would not feed the flesh or risk your life thinking, I got to get everything in I can because I'm only here for a short while. No, because you have eternal life. You know that you are immortal. We're immortal. We're born, we're created, but we're going to live forever. It's the destination that is the question. Eternal life or eternal death? If you knew, because of the power of the resurrection, you had eternal life, you would be spending your days on things that are eternal, not temporal. Things that are going to fade out. You wouldn't spend so much time trying to convince yourself God isn't real because he didn't do this or that the way I wanted him to. You wouldn't spend your time thinking you have better things to do than be part of a church community, to gather together on a regular basis and worship him. Amen? I mean, this resurrection was the greatest miracle ever. It's much more than healing somebody that was paralyzed or somebody that was sick or blind. I mean, raised from the dead. Are you there with me at Romans 6? Actually, I think we're going to read verses 1 through 14. And here's what I want you to pay attention to when we're reading this. The Jesus' resurrection was purposed in causing us to live a changed life. To live a changed life. In other words, we're set free from the things that hold us down, the things that make us miserable, the things that make us afraid, the things that cause us to behave and think and say things in ways that after it's done, we are wishing we could have taken it back. Romans 6. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so grace may increase? That's a rhetorical question. May it never be. How shall we, who died to sin, still live in it? Still live in it. In other words, he's saying, if we've been born again, if we've come to the cross, if we've been delivered, we've been set free, we know that we have eternal life, why do we choose to still wallow in the pig pen of our sin and things that made our life miserable, made us realize we need a Savior? Why do we still want to do that? Verse 4, or 3. Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. In newness of life. When we've been born again, we've been changed. We're going to walk in new life. I mean, why else would we come to the cross, come to Jesus and say, take my sins. Get them away from me. I want a new life. And he says, yes, come on in. And why do we say, well, can I have a couple of those back, please? Verse 5, for if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, which we have when we're born again, so we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. So it's not just his death and crucifixion that's important. It's got to be paired with the fact of this resurrection, that he was raised again. Certainly, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin may be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. Amen? I mean, when we physically die, we can't go sin anymore, right? But what Jesus is telling us, we need to die spiritually in our inner man. We need to crucify our inner man, our old self, through our faith, our repentance, our confession, and be raised again in newness of life. Verse 8, now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death is no longer master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its lusts. And do not go on presenting the members of your body as sin to sins as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members of instrument, members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Whew. Glory, hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes. Is sin reigning in your mortal body? Is sin reigning in your mortal body? In light of the resurrection that we spoke of, if you think about if sin is reigning in your mortal body, doesn't it feel kind of dirty? You know, just kind of like a contaminant? The power of the resurrection should help us to live as those alive from the dead, presenting our body to him as instruments of righteousness. I asked you if you were a resurrection denier. Everyone says, no. I believe he's been raised from death. But are you denying the resurrection by living a lukewarm life and not living a changed life? What does Jesus tell us in Revelation about a lukewarm life? He's going to spit it out. He'd rather that we're hot or cold. You know, if we're hot, he can do something with us. If we're cold, yeah, well, you know, he can do something. But if we're lukewarm, we're just kind of like halfway there and halfway not there. He's going to spit that out. Don't let that be your life. That's a denial of the resurrection. All right, so let's kind of analyze what we've read and what we've talked about this morning. And how did Jesus' resurrection change him to start with? Well, firstly, death was behind him. Death was behind him. He literally died. Death was behind him. He no longer has to face that. He was raised to a newness of life. In other words, the things that he was going to do and did and is doing is different than what he was doing before he was crucified and raised. More of the fulfillment of what he was heading towards. One of them, as an example, is he became our high priest. We only have one priest, and that's Jesus. No human is our priest. You do not have to go to another person to confess our sins. We do not have to go to another person to pray and hear from God. We got a direct connection. Now, that's not to say that we don't want to gather and receive the blessing and encourage one another, but it's not something we have to do for our salvation. And that is a deception that has been put on the world by false religion. Jesus, after his resurrection, he more dearly loved the disciples. Of course, he loved them so much ahead of time, but always in the back of his mind, he knew there was an hour coming that was going to be so painful. And until that happened, his full plan of salvation wasn't going to be there. That new covenant, it had to be delivered through him, through his death, burial, and resurrection. So we all feel that way. You know, we know we got something hard coming up, and we kind of, it's always in the back of my mind. We're kind of wondering, oh, we're worried about it. We're a little anxious about it. When we get it done, we're going, yeah. Same with Jesus. He granted us, because of his resurrection, crucifixion, resurrection, he granted us to be co-heirs and friends. I mean, do you think of Jesus as this untouchable God? This one who can only see you when you're right here in his house. And you approach him that way, rather than realizing he loves you. You're a co-heir. He's a friend. He's also our Lord, our Savior. But he's with us, available and around all the time, not just here. After the resurrection, he had fully fulfilled the penalty of the law. The penalty of the law, by violating it, was death in most cases for most sins. He paid that for us. So now, if you sin, especially if you're in Christ, you don't have to die. We're not going to stone you. If we find out about one of your sins, we are not going to stone you. Jesus already paid for your sins even before you made them. What else happened? He had ushered in grace. This whole thing of grace, which is, it never fails. It's hard to understand because it kind of goes against our, you know, our inner thinking that I want to do it on my own. I can do it on my own. What is the power of his resurrection? It creates life out of the dead. And it's known only through spiritual death and suffering. Think about that. You know, when we come to Christ, our old man has to die. If you could think back to before you were born again, you probably struggled with offering up your inner man, your inner self, to die. I mean, well, I'm basically a good person. Why do I need my inner man to die? Until we come to that understand that our inner man is nothing but sin, and we're willing to repent from it, you know, it hasn't died yet. So what does this power do for us? The power of the resurrection. Paul says, I want to know the fellowship of his sufferings. I want to know the power of his resurrection. What does that power do for us? Well, number one, it assures us of our justification. What is our justification? It is that it's our position with God. He has already justified us through Christ's actions and our belief in him. So we are justified. We are redeemed. It raises us from spiritual death now. Now. And it will raise our physical bodies from death upon the first resurrection. The power of the resurrection gives us a different life focus. I know for me, before I was saved, my life focus was money and partying. That was it. I wanted to be a millionaire before I was 30, And I wanted to freak out as many people as I could by being as crazy as I could. I was out of control. I mean, I'm amazed we didn't know each other back then.
I know, we probably did. We sure remember.
We had different states. We had Arkansas, that's right, right, California.
I think you're still freaking people out. But not party.
In a different way.
Yeah. Hopefully to a better way.
Yeah, that's right.
But you have a different life focus, right? Throughout every day, you're thinking about God. You're thinking about, you know, your relationship with Him. You're thinking, oh, maybe I could go up and help clean up some of the junk off of that property instead of, you know, shooting them with arrows and complaining about them. Different life focus. The old man has died and you've put the new man on. Hopefully when people see you now that used to know you when you were the old man, say, wow, he's changed. You're not like he used to be. The resurrection, the power of the resurrection assures us of truth, that there was only one raised. It empowers us to testify. If you have not been changed in your spirit and your heart, how can you testify to someone else about the goodness of God, the love of Jesus, the grace, the mercy? How can you? Because it comes across hollow. It's just words. And people can see that. It doesn't impact them. But if you have the power of the resurrection, you are testifying with power, the power of God. Not that you have to be all scary and dramatic. It's just, it comes out. You know, they can tell. It's like when Jesus was preaching, they were saying, wow, this guy's a little different. He speaks with the power of authority like nobody we've ever heard. The power of the resurrection makes us ambassadors, heaven ambassadors, that we would go around. We're representing heaven and Jesus to others. We can only do that through His power. Because if you're trying to do it on your own power, you're going to fail. People are going to see. It's just not, there's no power behind that person's testimony, that person's ambassadorship. The power of the resurrection makes us grace givers. Grace giver. Are you a grace giver? Are you? Because you know, there out there, there are grace growers. Some of you might be a grace grower. And in the big picture, you're helping us because you're making us have more grace for you. But we're grace givers. When we have the power of the resurrection in us, we want to give grace to people. We seek out opportunities to give grace. And the power of the resurrection gives us a future and a hope. This is an extreme power. When you meet people that don't have any hope, is not that the most devastating thing to witness in your life? How can you not have any hope? But we, because we have the power of the resurrection, can have hope. We know that no matter what happens, we've got eternal life with Jesus. And until then, God is going to be with us in His Spirit each and every day, each and every moment, walking through this life. And it's not just that we're supposed to be able to stay alive until that day that we die. We're supposed to have meaning and significance. Having been changed ourselves, wanting to live that out for others. Not for ourselves, but for others. The resurrection is foundational for our faith. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. They're going to physically die. Turn with me. Let's have our last scripture here, 1 Corinthians 15. First Corinthians 15, we'll start with verse 12. Are you there yet? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, if Christ has preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is vain. Your faith also is vain. But he's making a good argument. Moreover, we are even found to be false witnesses of God, because we have testified against God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, even Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. Wow. You are still in your sins. Wow. This is huge. If this resurrection isn't true, then what are we really believing in? What is our hope placed in? You know, many people will say, I believe in God. There is a God. Yeah, I believe in God. But I don't believe in Jesus. I don't believe he's his son. He was just a good man. He was just a prophet. He just walked around and did good stuff.
Who would get me?
But you can't separate him. You can't choose one part of God you want to believe in, because without what Jesus did, your faith is worthless because you have not received forgiveness of your sins. So don't let anyone pollute you with those doubts, that wrong teaching. Okay, where did I leave off?
16.
I'm sorry?
16.
15?
Yeah.
Well, 18. Or 18, okay. 18.
All right. Oh, sorry, I guess you're right.
Then also, those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. We all know people, family, parents, grandparents, they believed in Christ all their life, and they died, and we believe that they went to heaven. But if the resurrection isn't true, where are they? If we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. For since by a man came death, by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, and then after that, those who are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end, when he hands over the kingdom to the God and Father, and he has abolished all rule and authority and power. So, he brings in something else. What's the next big act that is going to happen on God's calendar, the spiritual calendar? It is the rapture. He comes again, gathers up his church, his bridegroom. Next big thing. All of this stuff that's happening in the world right now, those are just signs of his soon coming. We are not in the tribulation that the Bible reveals, because the rapture has to happen first. So, how many people feel ill-equipped to communicate what the rapture is to non-believers, even other believers who don't believe in the rapture? You know that? There are people that claim to be Christian that don't believe in the rapture. But it's clear as day in the Bible. I'm not going to make you raise your hands, but I know this is a tough message to communicate to people. So I have here for you some help. Who would like one of these that has all the scriptures? And you know, you can have a conversation with somebody. And I've got more. Sorry. Anyone else want one that didn't get one?
I have one. I have another one.
I think this one's different. Oh, is it? Is it different? Are you sure it's different?
This is different
than the one.
Is this the different
than
the other one?
No, the same one that gave out before. Okay,
I was
going to
say,
I'm
very similar.
You know, you can sit down with somebody over coffee and just go through this with them.
Sorry.
I got more? Okay.
I'll take them.
And you know what? You can leave these on your coffee table at home.
Right.
Because after the rapture, somebody else is moving into your house. Your camper, your tent. You may not really, you don't know who they are. Somebody's moving in. The tribulation.
Did it say that in the Bible?
No, that's definitely in the Bible. Absolutely. Multiple times.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. I'm not going to be preaching on the rapture right now.
Yeah.
I'm kind of done with the message of resurrection, the soon coming rapture. So let's gather around and pray for one another, huh?